A slight delay in programming there from last night. I'll tell you what happened here in just a moment. But that's right, you do have the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And we are in a different studio tonight, so we're not in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. We are in a studio down the hall, but that doesn't mean that you can't go to my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, for the very best in Mercury Free dentistry. Just give him a call at 407-678-3399. But we're down the hall. Actually, I am down the hall with Mike McBath, the chairman of the board, freshly back from Chicago and NFL meetings.
I'm just glad I wasn't shot up there. Yeah. But we actually, it was a very productive meeting. It was a three-day event. You know, it was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then you flew home Sunday. And actually, what it involved, we bring in all our as many of our former NFL players from that Midwestern area.
Yeah.
And then, like, the first day, we spent primarily trying to just teach them different business thoughts and ideas that make them better business people. And, I mean, the reality of it is, you know, we brought in SCORE, which you're very familiar with. You know, SCORE is probably as effective as you can in training people. We then brought in Babson University, who talked about entrepreneurship and, you know, how to virtually get involved. So it was just really an extremely beneficial program for particularly players who have, let's say, struggles in business.
Yeah.
And then the next day we flipped into just making a better person. And that was, so it was really the theme of the two-day events.
Sounds like a real productive event. I can, real quick, I'm sorry, Nick, I can hear Mike just fine, but I cannot hear me at all as I'm talking. Okay? So hopefully you folks out there can hear me just fine. Otherwise, if you can't, some of you are probably just as fine with that, too. what happened here last night is long about 6:40, 6:45, as we were going into the final segment of the show, we were struck by lightning. Is this mic?
All right, let's try a different mic. Okay, now that sounds much better. Hopefully that sounds better for you folks out there, too. Obviously, we're having technical issues here still tonight. As I was just getting ready to say, last night we were struck by lightning as we were beginning to start the fourth segment of the show. It would have been about, I guess, about 6:50. And I saw a bright flash outside the window. We're up on a second floor. And right outside the window that I look out, there is the tower. There's a big tower out there. I don't know if the lightning hit the tower or what, but I kind of like saw a flash and the microphone almost like popped, like something came out of the microphone. And
did your hair jump up?
No, but everything immediately went dead.
Oh.
And Joe Ferrero, who sits downstairs in his office, said he could hear crackling outside his door. And it fried a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of equipment that's going to have to be replaced in the rack room, as they call it, on the bridge. Where Nick LoCicero normally sits, he's on a different. He's on a what do they call that in Star Trek? What's that alternate bridge on the Star Trek? Do you remember that?
It might have been the hot seat after the lightning.
Yeah,
I don't know about the alternate bridge.
Yeah, he's on the battle bridge. I think they call it. So he's on the battle bridge. We are down the hall in a different studio, but we're going to be here and we're going to be live just like always. And so you can call the show, but it's a different the phone number is 407-682-9595. You can't use the regular number because the phones got fried. And so,
am I in the right studio? I mean, where am I?
well, hopefully it's not going to happen again tonight. I mean, it really kind of came up suddenly. I was looking out the window, you know, as I say, where we do the show, and I could see the skies darkening. There's trees out there, and I could see the limbs whipping around, and then the rain, and then I could see the distant flashes. But all of a sudden, it was a real bright flash, and everything went dead. And Nick comes out. He goes and checks the rack room. That's where the equipment is. And he comes out, and he says, oh, I can smell something in there. And sure enough, you go in there, and you can smell where things had literally been fried. And Lou, who is the engineering genius around here, he has been here all night long working hard to get at least some studios up. And so we will be here and we will be live and we'll be here all week long. And as a matter of fact, Thursday, Thursday is the third, right?
Thursday is the third.
Thursday is the third, yep. And that night we'll have the full 2 hours, but tonight and tomorrow night, the Rays pregame show will start at 6:30 on schedule. And but once again, you'll have to call a different number. So take this down or enter into your phone real quick if you want to be a part of the show. And this is probably going to be for a while. So it's 407-682-9595.
You know, Chris, we're approaching college football this weekend.
It starts actually Thursday night.
This is exciting.
I love it. This is my favorite time of year.
I know. I can see. I mean, really, you get a feel for it. I mean, like I say, I go down the gym all the time. I'm telling you, it's in the air already. Everybody's pumped up. So
it's like
I'm excited.
No pun intended, but it's like there's electricity in the air.
Yeah.
There's no better sporting event, in my opinion, either on TV or live,
mm-hmm.
than a college football game. I mean,
right.
just about any college football game. Certainly the big schools and the rivalries and the things like that. And UCF plays Thursday night
Thursday
to kick
night.
Off the season.
And even myself, even though I play professional football, if you ask me which sport do I like to watch the most, is I'm definitely a college fan because I just like the enthusiasm of the crowd. They feel part of it because, you know, they went to school there, and it's just such a great tradition. And so, you know, with the opening up of college football, can't ask for more. And we'll be discussing college football as we head into Thursday. And each week we'll be talking a little bit about the teams that are out there shining. So I'm waiting to see what happens to Tebow. This is my biggest interest. I'm waiting. You know, the cuts were made down the 75, and he made it to that. But the next cut goes from 75 down to 53. And that's when there's going to be a lot of people saying goodbye, and some of them relatively big names. So I'm waiting to see. Our friend Winston, real bad game for the Bucks. Not the other night. I mean, he really, I don't like to use the word he stunk, but that might be appropriate. And hopefully he gets off to a better track because you got your fourth preseason game coming up.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mr. Winston, you're getting paid big money. You got a big mouth. So I hope you can dance, buddy.
Got to produce.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of stinking, the stock market stunk things up again today. And I have to say, though, if you've been listening to our show, you would have been hearing what they were saying today on our show last week and the week before.
Again, we're light year. I can't say light years away,
ahead,
Chris.
No pun intended.
But
right.
I mean, you look at what happened yesterday. Yesterday was sort of the culmination of a 10% run in the price of oil upwards. And then watch what happens today. In one stroke of the pen, oil drops 8%. So everything that they picked up, which motivated the market up, you know, a couple of the days, was all given back pretty much today.
Right.
And as you know, now the Dow's entered, again, we've passed the 10% period, which is the correction. Now we're headed into the bear area. And, you know, Dow for this year is down about 12%. The Shanghai Index, which I watch every day because it gives you a little bit of input, but that was down 1.2% today, which wasn't bad relative to the U.S., and then our 10-year treasury was about 2.15. You know, you get a rough day, and it softens yield-wise. And again, we're going to hear this story all the time. What's with the market? Well, here we go. Slow down in China. You know, the plunging of oil prices and anxiety about interest rate hikes. I mean, that, in essence, is going to be the story until something changes, something on the outside or some catastrophic world event, because this is going to be it. And you know, hopefully the earnings of our major corporations are maintained and continue upward,
right,
which we will see.
Right. Well, I remember during the run-up in this market over the last 7 or 8 years, a lot of it was attributed to the BRIC countries. That was Brazil, Russia, and China.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all, their economies are in the toilet.
And they got bricks tied to their country.
And they're going
down.
That's right. Like the mobsters have tossed them overboard. And they're basically pulling the world economy down with them.
And plus, as we know, even in our country, you know, this debt situation where you allow the politicians to constantly pile debt on. You know, we're up into the 18 billion plus. You got Brazil.
Trillion.
Yeah, a billion, I wish, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at Brazil, they're about to go bye-bye. You got Venezuela, they're bye-bye. You got Spain. I mean, the problem is we let the politicians constantly just load up, and then they walk, and they'll say the next guy takes care of it. But sometimes, you know, it comes home the rest, and hopefully it's not yet. But if we don't get this straightened out in this country, and that's why hopefully the Obama and the Democratic regime will be gone in the next election. You know, maybe to, I'm like we've talked about. I'm a fan of Trump because you know what? I believe he's one of the few that doesn't owe everybody everything and maybe can get something done. But I'll take Carly Farina as a backup.
And we just hope we can get her into the debate.
It's hard enough, right?
Yeah, because they've come up with a screwy rule that they're going to use the average of polls since July the 16th, I think. Why they picked that number out of the blue, I don't know. If it were up to me, it would be the average of the polls of the week leading into the debate.
I mean, that just seems, I always used to say, you know, at Penn State, if we couldn't get our dumbest players through phys ed, we would move them into journalism. And I mean, that type of thinking is beyond, how could you even put that as a criteria? Because you're rating before the first debate's over, buddy. All I want to care is who went through.
You know, now that you mention that, an interesting little trivia about Al Gore.
He's a neat, honest guy.
Well, you know, a lot of people think Al Gore is a lawyer. He's not. He tried to be a lawyer, and he flunked out of law school.
Oh, what
so
a
then
surprise.
He tried to get a liberal arts degree, and he flunked out of that. So you know what he got a degree in? You just said it.
Journalism.
Journalism, that's right. And no he actually doubt. Went out, and I'll say this about him. When he got his journalism degree, his father was a senator,
right.
And he could have gotten a deferral from Vietnam, but he actually went, and he went as a journalist. So it kept him out of combat,
yeah.
So he was smart enough to do that, I guess, if you want
right.
to put it that way. But
I wonder...
He's not a lawyer.
Yeah, but when he was in Vietnam, you know, if you were out of school, meaning you weren't in school, you got to go. And so I wonder if it wasn't just because he was such a wonderful guy. I wonder if he was just out of school and, hey, buddy, you're gone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
But that is funny. He actually does put on like he's an attorney.
But, yeah, he flunked out of law school and he flunked out of liberal arts. And then he passed. He got his degree in journalism.
Well, so he certainly tried
God
to.
God bless him.
Yeah. I mean, in the financial world, he tried to pull off one of the great scams in history.
You're talking about the carbon credits,
that was a scam of all scams.
Hey, you want to talk about scams, you know, what was it, just several weeks ago when Walmart announced that they were going to raise their minimum wage that they paid to their employees?
Right.
Well, Walmart has just made another announcement. They are going to cut back the hours of the people who they have just raised the minimum wage.
Well, you know what?
Because the overhead went up a little bit more than they thought it might, I guess, right?
No, this idea of escalating to $15, as we've both discussed numerous times, is absolutely economic insanity to these corporations because you're not going to train any people who need help. And the people who need it most will be the people who will suffer most.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's what the Democrats do so well. They go for the short-term satisfaction, knowing they'll wipe the person out in the long term. Well, this is really a quick wipeout, you know.
Well, the odd thing about it is some of the employees aren't upset because earning more in the regular marketplace would meant they would have had to take less in the welfare marketplace. How do you like them apples?
I mean,
you want to talk about an upside down incentive system, or as we could call it, a disincentive system. Listen, Mike, we're going to have to take a break. Mike can't see the clock, so I got to kind of tell him what's going on here, folks. Once again, we're down the hall because lightning struck us last night. It's interesting because at the beginning of the show, well, I'll tell you more about it when we come back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you do have the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you from down the hall, so to speak, because our main studio is knocked out. We were knocked down by lightning last night about 6:50 and took not only our station off the air, but the other stations here at the complex. And Lou has been working all night long to get everything back up. But once again, we're down the hall. We do have a phone line up, a couple phone lines, but you have to call a different number if you want to be a part of the show, 407-682-9595. Nick LeCicero is on the battle bridge tonight, and Mike McBath and I are in the studio. As I say, we're down the hall. Played the Stevie Ray Vaughan caught in the crossfire because it's beginning to appear more and more like our police around the nation are being caught in a crossfire. And some of it's in the normal course of, and maybe these stories may be getting a little bit more attention because of the overall situation. But nonetheless, our police forces around the country do seem to be under attack. And that is the way I believe it was characterized over the weekend by the district attorney in Houston, where Deputy Goforth, Darren Goforth, was so brutally and cold-bloodedly murdered. And his sheriff, I think, put it right. You know, let's get over this qualifying business that black lives matter, all lives matter. He said cop lives matter, too. Why don't we just say lives matter?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it comes down to. And today, again, in Chicago, a police officer was isolated and evidently assassinated. He was killed. Mm-hmm. I believe they took his weapon. They took his belt and took his gear. And it was evidently they have three suspects, not in custody at Showtime, but they have three suspects they're looking for, two white fellas and a black guy.
You know what's interesting, though, Chris? That the when you listen normally, you know, just pay attention. Is the other day I'm listening, and they wouldn't describe the color of the person that, you know, which
that shot that
which
deputy.
They knew.
Yeah, of course.
Which they knew.
Yep.
Yet when it was a white person,
yeah,
they immediately go, well, it's two white guys and a black guy.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. If it was two black guys, why didn't you say it's two black guys?
Yeah. Well, it's.
Well, I mean, I think we know. I mean, my concern is this climate of negativity put forth by the White House and, you know, those primarily. See, you know what? And as I've always said, even in professional sports and everything, I honestly, I never saw color. You know, I saw action. The minute you put these politicians into society, the only way a certain group can get elected is to perpetuate racism at some level and against some people.
Right.
And sadly enough, you know, this climate of negativity is just, oh, it's so horrible when we see the results of what's going on with our police, who are the pillars of our society, and without them, we'd have total chaos.
Right.
So, you know, hey, well, Obama, get back from your trips, buddy. Get back, get off the mountain. And let's, you know, I honestly believe there should be signs up in all the ghettos and everything like, this is what's expected when you meet a policeman. You stop, you listen, and you proceed.
Well,
you know, but it's too simple, I guess.
This may be the skeptic or the conspiracy theorist in me coming out, but I believe that, and for political reasons, that this president and a lot of liberals in the elite want to see what's happening in the country right now. They want to have the collapse of civil society because the way they see it, as long as we have civil society, we're never going to be able to take people's guns away from them. We're never going to be able to do the things that we really need to do in order to bring about justice right. And fairness and equality. But if we can have a breakdown in the social order, well, then we have a good reason to take people's weapons away from them.
Right. As long as most of the people have nothing, we will be able to do what we can which is exactly
and
how
to
it
silence,
goes
and
until
to
the next revolution.
And
you know?
To silence the voices who speak out against them.
Yeah.
And that's what they're all about. And the ends justifies the means.
The ends
justifies the means.
Yeah. Remember
and
just,
don't think for a minute that they respect life.
Mm-hmm.
They do not. They do not respect it at the lowest level, which is in the woman's womb. Why would anybody think that they would respect it at any level?
Mm-hmm.
They do not.
I mean, again, you look at what they put forth in their ideology. I mean, again, think of everything Hillary says. You know, it's for immediate satisfaction to the voter with a catastrophe coming to the voter a few years down the road.
Yeah.
That's always the way the act goes. And I mean, at some point, look into the ghettos, right? How many times have the blacks elected the same leaders who have failed them day in and day out for 30, 40, 50 years? You know, is there something wrong with me that they don't go, hey, don't you think nothing's working right?
Well,
I mean, come on.
And that's why I say it's refreshing to have these outsiders in the Republican Party, because guess what, Mike? We've been doing the same thing.
Yep.
We've been electing the same nincompoops, you know, because they have a fresh face.
Yeah.
We actually expect they're going to do what they say they're going to do, yet they never do.
I know.
And they give us the same old crap over and over again. And so it's nice that we finally have a real choice.
And it is fun to see the top three, you know, see Carson, Farina, Trump.
And Cruz.
That's just terrific. And Cruz. I'm a big fan of Cruz because I think he's one of the very few that are sitting in there that actually wants to do what's right for the American people and is consistently blocked at every way because, hey, buddy, you got to fit in. You know, we all have a lot of money up here.
Do you know why his colleagues in the Senate, and I'm talking about Republicans, you know why they hate him so much? Because he actually came to town to do what he said he was going to do. They all come to town to take advantage of the party that's going on at our expense. You see, I called Trump, and you can include, I believe, Carson, Fiorina, and Cruz in this. They're the party poopers.
Yep.
In other words, they're there to end the party for the parties. Okay? The parties have been pooping on us. All right? It's time to be the party poopers and end this little, you know, shenanigans that they're all having a grand old time up there at our expense. And we all know it. The people on the Democratic side. What was that poll you said before the show? Dissatisfaction with the party amongst the parties?
Like, this was amazing. The numbers were like 91% of the Republicans have dissatisfaction with their own parties. And then how about this one? Something like 81%. Of the Democrats, which is really hard for, but that is obviously being displayed when we see the numbers from Bernie, the Marxist.
Yeah. You know, I mean. It's for their benefit, not ours. It's backwards. We need to switch that around. All right, but don't switch that dial because we are here. We are coming back. Even though we're down the hall, we are live at, 407-682-9595. Please don't go away. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We have scooted down the hall because the main studio got fried by the bolt of lightning last night. And but we do have phone lines, but it's a new number. So if you haven't gotten it yet, you might want to take note of this. It's probably going to be this way for a couple of days, given the damage that was done around here last night. 407-682-9595 is the number that you can reach us at, 407-682-9595. I am Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath, the chairman of the board. And Mike, you know, we were talking a little bit about the president in the prior segment. He's up in Alaska, and he's having quite the time up there pushing his, you know, climate change.
Here we go, climate change agenda.
Global warming nonsense. By the way, there is a group of Alaskan natives. We used to call them Eskimos. I don't know what they call themselves anymore, Inuits or whatever. They are running commercials on television up there while he's there saying, leave us alone. Don't bring us any more of your regulations. Let us do what we want to do with our land up here. And believe it or not, they want to be able to drill for oil and natural gas.
Yeah, and you know what? It is their land. It's not his land.
Well,
you know, this guy, I guess he still is under that impression he represents all the people. He doesn't represent me. No. He doesn't represent many people I know. No, I mean, this guy is an embarrassment.
You know, you remember that song, This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land? Obama sings it, This Land Is My Land,
This Land Ain't Your Land.
I know. And, you know, he acts like everything is, of course, his. He's renamed Mount McKinley. Actually, he didn't rename it. He just eliminated the name Mount McKinley because it was already known by the locals because it had been known for years by the natives who live up there as Denali, which means the high one.
Now, let's think about that. I saw that the other day, and then I started thinking, the high one, the high. I know somebody who always gets high. Wait a second. That was our president in college. And I wonder, I mean, I really wonder, maybe that was his nickname, the high one.
The high one, maybe.
But can you imagine, though, trying to impose that on everybody?
Well, he certainly is the high and mighty one, right?
Yeah.
He certainly acts like the high and mighty one. He's going to be up there with Bear Grylls.
Oh, is that a disgrace?
I never will watch Bear Grylls again.
I know. There's no more machoism associated with Bear Grylls.
You know, I mean, when he started taking the stars out and stuff like that.
Well, you saw the episode with Putin. you know, which really reflects into what we're talking about. Putin was weightlifting again. I mean, this week they showed it on TV. Putin,
oh, yeah, him over there.
Yeah, yeah. He's pumping iron there.
He wasn't
in Russia.
With Bear Grylls.
You know, lavish, I know, lavish gym, everything.
He is their Bear Grylls.
Yeah, and he's, oh, yeah. I mean, this guy's trying to put on that macho, rough guy image. And then we got, you know who? The Dancing Queen.
The Dancing Queen. Indeed we do. And he's up in Alaska, and his whole purpose, once again, and John L. Casey talks about this on the show. This is part of the lead up. This is the pregame show, if you will, leading up to the big climate conference in November and December in Paris, where they're going to stick something down our throats that I'm sure we ain't going to like in terms of
financially, this will be another
new taxes,
huge
new
bill.
Regulations, exactly. All of the same old from this president. The people in Alaska aren't having any of it. They want to do what they want to do up there. That's why they live in Alaska, right? Because mm-hmm. they don't want to do what we have to do down here. They want to be their own people.
Yeah, they're their own people.
Exactly.
That's why they live there. You're right.
It's like the America used to be.
Yeah.
And so they're not too enamored with the president. But nonetheless, he's going to go through his dog and pony show. And by the way, he is up there saying that we need more icebreakers in the Great North.
Well, we know what this is about now. This is tied into the Russian situation, right?
Yeah.
The day they were talking about the posture Russia is now taking, you know, in the Alaskan situation, they've actually got they got 10 military bases that they're continuing to build up. They're adding 4 more military bases. They will get the idea 26% of the world's reserves, you know, are underwater there.
I was going to say, they're after vast reserves of oil and natural gas. Huge.
I mean,
that will make Saudi Arabia look like a pimple on somebody's butt
when it comes
to energy.
Imagine how aggressive they are, because they got these 10 bases. They got 4 more they're building. They have they've been running military drills with tens of thousands of soldiers. They got hundreds of ships up there. And our guy, because he's not my president, our guy is now lowering the size of our bases up there. But really what concerns me is Putin is such an aggressive guy. And, you know, they've been flying bombers to the edge of our airspace in the Northwest, and then they turn around. Well, this is such an aggressive guy that I wonder if he will challenge him, because they got 40 icebreakers. We have 2. That's it. Yeah. And Obama wants the pace picked up, so they'll be ready by when? 2020?
Well, no. Now, listen, this is the same president who said that if we don't do something immediately about the climate, we're going to have submerged countries, abandoned cities, and floods of refugees await the world, all we got to do is wait a couple of years, and the ice is going to melt. We don't need icebreakers.
Yeah,
isn't it ironic
that
he says we need more icebreakers?
Yeah, you would think we'd get surfboards or something, because according to him, there's not going to be any ice.
They're just paddling there
on
a kayak.
But isn't that funny? He wants to build all these icebreakers. Well, sir, there is going to be no ice, according to you.
Yeah, by the time they get built, according to you, there will be no ice. So, all right, let's just check out the phones. We got a phone caller, so let's make sure they're working here. Tim, you're the guinea pig. Tim, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
First call on your new number. Well, I want you to know I'm so loyal. I listened to the static until 6:30, and then I went over to Web to listen to more static.
Well, that is a loyal listener. I can tell you that.
We owe you a dinner, my friend.
I appreciate it. Obama went up to Alaska just to be on this reality show, and then he plans all this other stuff around it.
You think?
But what he's done is he's hurt them so economically, because September 1st is the start of the moose season, and they've had to delay the start because he's in the state. They didn't want all the hunters out around where he might be.
But you know what, Tim, if that is true, that is the beginning of the season, that is a very correct statement, because, you know, many of these people, even in Iowa, you know, I go out there pheasant hunting all the time. And let me tell you, it is not cheap. You know, you're going to drop $3,000-$4,000 in 4 days.
It's a big business.
It's a huge business.
Well, not only
he wouldn't consider worry about the people. What's he going to worry about somebody?
Not only that, and Tim, I'll let you go on, but not only that, but And this is part of what the and I'm simply going to call them Eskimos because that's what I know them as. What the Eskimos have a problem with is they use that meat to live on. And a lot of other people in Alaska hunt meat to live on. And this prevents them from their livelihood. Okay, Tim.
That's the truth. And here's the reality of it. The first week of the moose season is the most important because the longer it goes on, the scent that the female puts out and
right.
the exertion the male puts out, the meat gets to pick up some of that, and it's not as good.
It taints the meat, right.
Right, it taints the meat, and so it's not good, and so many people rely on it. I have a daughter, granddaughter, and great-granddaughter, and they all live up there, and so I get all the information firsthand, and they are so PO'd that he's in the state that they just can't stand it.
What's sad, too, Tim, is I hope that the newspapers have picked this up because not only is it for the meat that they eat and everything, but it is for the money. I mean, you know, a moose hunt, I guarantee you that you're going to be paying $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a week the moose hunt, and then you multiply that up by a big number of people, and that is an economic huge benefit, which here he comes, Mr. Bozo. Yeah, unbelievable. Right. What a popular guy. I think he could be reelected again, don't you?
Watch out. While he's up there, we're probably going to see some YouTube video show up, some poor old moose named Bullwinkle being shot by some doctor or dentist.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Right. No, the media won't cover it. They cover it up there, but they won't cover it.
The response.
He can do no wrong. That president can do no wrong.
But
you remember on my phone, I showed you pictures of my son-in-law with the moose he got on the first day of the season, and then he sent some home to us, and it's good. I mean, it's really good.
Moose meat, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what Sarah Palin says. Well, all right. Okay. Hey, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Catch you later.
All right. Thanks for being there, and thanks for listening to Half Hour of Static last night.
You know, Chris.
That is dedication.
Palin's on our channel that we like.
Yeah, One American News Network.
I know.
Yeah.
And supposedly she's doing extremely well, and the ratings of that whole organization, which I believe they were like Fox years ago. And, you know, Fox has evolved into like, well, we won't offend too many people. We want to, you know, they've changed.
And they do too much fluff.
I know. It's just like, you know, Johnny found a turtle yesterday and he said,
oh, how adorable.
I know. Like, oh, please.
I know. Yeah. And then they, of course, it's not, you know, such bad to look at. But I mean, the girls in the short skirts. You know, this is supposed to be a news channel, okay?
Right.
They can be. This is what I like about One American News. They're attractive women, but they're sitting behind a desk like a news anchor should be.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have a debate, it's with other people behind desks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's focus on what's being said, not the looks of the person saying it, which is why we're on radio.
I sort of like the looks of the person. Sorry.
Well, I don't mind it every now and then, that's for sure.
There is a special attraction to that.
Yeah, but I was watching Greg Gutfeld the other night.
Well, he's not a real looker. That's for sure.
Okay. All right, we got another phone call, so let's go to Diane right now. Diane, thank you for calling.
Hey, you guys, how are you?
Well, we're here. We're existing. We're down the hall, but we're doing great.
I, like Tim, sat and listened to Static for a very long time. Because the last time it happened, you guys came back up pretty quick.
Yeah, and we were hoping to, but you know, once we could smell the fried stuff
coming out of the rack
room in there, we kind of knew that it was probably a fruitless thing. But we were here. We were here till after 7 o'clock, just in case Lou, who is a magician when it comes to the equipment around here, he really knows his way around. It was the terminal, so to speak. So we're here and we'll be down the hall until they get our studio back up and running. So hats off to Lou and the folks here at Salem for getting us back on the air and live.
Yay, Lou.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how was the trip to Alabama?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Amazing.
And were there a lot of people there?
There was about 20,000.
Oh.
Of course, there's no coverage anywhere.
I was going to say, I didn't see coverage anywhere.
Yeah,
you have
to go on the Blaze and watch the march and the speeches. It was electric.
Yeah, I listened to his show yesterday morning. And
well, he got off the show after the first hour because he couldn't talk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was such a big weekend.
It was huge.
And this is for Planned Parenthood.
No, this was this, This was the Beck rally in Alabama, the one to come together rally.
The Unity rally.
That's
good.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. But isn't it nice you had such coverage? That is just terrible. You have 20,000 people and no one. And then you see on Fox, Mrs. Smith makes a big cake. You know, that's wrong.
Mm. Yep. People came from literally all around the world. There was people there from China, the Netherlands, and all over the United States.
That's fantastic.
It was amazing. And Alveda King was amazing. And they didn't want to show Alveda King with him.
I'm not surprised at that. You know, heaven forbid. Alveda King, by the way, is the niece of Martin Luther King, and her own father was.
And her mom was there.
Oh, wow. That must have been fantastic.
She was on stage, and she gave a prayer. She's really cool.
I bet.
And they showed the new movie that's coming out on the 16th, and everybody's got to go. Lawnwood. And all the cast was there. John Voight, not all of the cast, but most of the cast was there.
Uh-huh. John, what's the name of it again?
Lawnwood.
Lawnwood. Lawnwood.
Yep. Not Longwood, right here.
No, this was, you were telling us this is a high school football team.
True story.
Yeah.
Where they all came to Jesus.
Yeah.
And
it really turned.
Two football teams came to Jesus. I'm not going to give it away.
But just in a nutshell, it turned around the school and the community.
Entire community.
Right. Yep. Right.
I think that's great. Yeah. And now that's going to be in the regular theaters and everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Yep. Lawnwood.
I will go to that.
Well, definitely.
I like to support those type of movies.
And Sean Austin is in it.
Yep.
He's amazing. And
wow, sounds like it was an exciting time.
It was. Yeah, it was a whirlwind. I mean, there was a lot to do. And they had the first event was on Friday night at the Guiding Light Church is a huge black church about 10 miles out of town. There was more than 20,000 people there. The church was packed.
And was the regular congregation there as well?
They were all there, and their choir is amazing.
I can imagine.
And he had the choir come on stage on the next event for the next day. It was incredible. They were amazing. And he spoke at the church.
Oops. I think we just lost Diane. Yep, something just popped. Okay. All right. Thank you, Diane. You can call back. We'll go ahead and take a break and see if we can find out what happened there. All right. Anyway, we're here, 407-682-9595. And once again, Diane, we dropped you, but please do call back. All right. We'll be right back.
Loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks, with our little ode to the Hillary Clinton. More emails out today, and in spite of the media trying to tell us, oh, it's just a bunch of mundane stuff, and there's some juicy gossip in there, too, but the main thing is there are more classified and more confidential emails as part of this batch. And I've been reading through some information that one of our listeners gave me, and it's quite extensive. And it makes it very clear that, first and foremost, the Secretary of State has to assume that all of her or his communications are of a sensitive nature. All of them. Simply because they are the Secretary of State. Right? You have to assume that all of your business is of a highly sensitive level.
Right, Chris, this is
even if it's personal information.
Everybody in the nation, look at her ratings and everything. We all know that the lady, either she's totally incompetent or she's so much above following the rules. Anybody know you're the Secretary of the State and you don't read a one-page directive what the rules are and you know that you jeopardize the national health of everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, please. We know what's going on. They can go through all the exercise they want. She will not be elected.
She's not even
going to make it to the starting block.
I don't think so either. But this is once, you know, they called Bill Clinton Slick Willie, and they called him that for good reason. Mm. Well, I think we can call her Slimy Hillary or something to that effect.
Well, she could be up for the year-end scummies.
You know,
I mean, the biggest scumbag in politics today. I would say she would be riding very close to the top. I'm not sure who would be ahead of her.
Absolutely. By the way, folks, you're going to want to stick around because in the next hour of the show, we have our friends from LIFA. That's the Legal Immigrants for America who are going to join us. And we're going to talk about the illegal immigration situation. By the way, Investors Business Daily has a new poll out. Very interesting results, I think you're going to find. We'll reveal those in the next hour of the show. And also, they've got a great series of events coming up we'll be talking about. In the meantime, we have Diane back on the line. And once again, our new phone line, at least for now, is 407-682-9595. 407-682-9595. So let's go back to Diane. I'm sorry, Diane, we dropped you.
No, that's okay. I'm sorry. I did see Carl Jackson this morning.
Yeah, that's right. He was styling and profiling on Fox a little bit later than he expected, but I thought he did an excellent job. I would not be surprised to see Carl Jackson on Fox quite often between now and the election especially.
I think so.
Yeah, he does a great job. And
but to finish up on this,
I'm glad it's him, not me, because I can't get up and get looking like that early in the morning. You know?
Oh, you're crazy.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Glenn put out a thing. He raised almost $3 million in less than a week.
Yeah.
For the Nazarene fund.
Yeah, it's amazing. He started out with $1 million goal. Yeah, yep. He wanted another million, so $3 million came in. I need to get him around here, raise some money for me.
But he put out a $10 million goal.
Yeah, and why not?
And by Christmas.
Yeah, and
it'll happen.
Yeah, and it's a great thing, and my hat's off to him. You know that he has the ability to do that because no one else is doing it, and this is. It's shameful that our government has turned its back on those people over there.
Well, that's what we need to do. We need to contact the State Department and let them know that this is not acceptable.
Well, absolutely. And the best way we can contact the State Department is electing somebody who will fire the whole gang over there and put in a new crew. So we'll certainly hope that we can do that in this coming election.
And everybody I talk to is all about Ted Cruz.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he's got the stuff.
Even at the Guiding Lake Church, there was a big Ted Cruz sign out front underneath the flag.
I'm not at all surprised.
And his father was there. What a really nice man.
Well, I'm glad you like that. And by the way, you're going to have an opportunity to meet him as well. And
I did.
We forgot about that. Now, you know, that big contest coming
up.
We got up on
the 28th.
I mean, if she goes all the way up there, she might come to the spaghetti eating
contest. Oh, Diane will be there. She'll be there. Won't you, Diane?
Oh, I will absolutely be there. I'm trying to get my husband to do the contest.
Ah, that would be great. You tell Jim. You tell Jim that you know, it's on. All right. Hey, Diane, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right, and thanks for the update. Sounds like a great, great endeavor.
Oh, and General Boykin says hey to Danny.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll pass that along.
And
of course,
your name
he's probably
was
listening.
Dropped often and many times.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that so much. And thanks for all your support.
Okay.
Couldn't do it without you. All right, we're coming up on the break. Once again, we have a new phone number, at least for the time being, because our regular phones are fried and throughout the whole building, not just in the studios. So you can reach us at 407-682-9595. That's 407-682-9595. And we will be here and we'll be live.
Now, Chris, Positano's didn't get hit by lightning, right?
No. Okay, and we can still have our spaghetti.
We can still have it there.
Yeah.
And our lineup of people, we got Reggie Branch, Super Bowl player for the Redskins.
We got one of the Pred Heads.
And we got a Pred Head guy, and I think we may have a Pred Head woman.
Yeah.
That's two. We got the Wounded Warrior Officer Group, right?
That's right.
That's four. We got the Shriners, number one eater. That's five.
Yep.
And so what do you think? Six, seven?
Guys down, Pasquale and Lewis down at Cafe Positano said, why not have 10 or so? So let's shoot for 10 contestants.
You know, but then what happens is you'll have people just want to come in and eat the spaghetti, and then they'll quit after having Mycoso
Well,
full,
that'd be all right. That'd be all right, too.
But what happens if they sit down and they go, could I have some wine with this? Wait a second. You're supposed to be
eating. No. We'll have the menu preset. That's
well, I'd like
okay.
a salad with it. No. We're just eating spaghetti. You're going to get spaghetti and meatballs. That's it. I'm sorry.
All right. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. And if you want to get in on the contest, let us know. Call us here at 407-682-9595.
And it is going to be broadcast live. This is just going to be just like an NFL game. You know, we're going to find out who can play and who can't.
All right, let's go ahead and take Sam's phone call. Sam, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there. You got a minute to go.
Okay, basically, nobody has asked Hillary about her email. She denies ever getting top secret or classified email. So I would ask her, well, if you didn't get it at your email, How were you receiving your top secret and classified email? Where was it being received?
Real quickly, according to her, it didn't come in tagged top secret. But see, that's a misnomer. That's a lie, because according to the documents I've been reading, she has to assume that from the beginning that anything that she receives is classified, if not top secret. And therefore, it's a process that she has to say and look at it and say, okay, this is not. She has to make the assumption that it is from the get-go. So, yeah, you're right, but she's lying to us. And the people who are investigating this know this. They know that she knows, because of the assumption that it is classified, that she was dealing with classified emails. Whether it was marked or not, she knew that the vast majority of them were, even if she didn't know which individual one was. But that's a great question, Sam. Thanks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, down the hall version. We're not coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios because it got a little fried last night, but we are down the hall, and you can still call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, for some great mercury-free dental care. You can reach him at 407-682-95. Nope, I'm sorry. That's our phone number. That's our new phone number, 407-682-9595. His phone number, Dr. Hardy's phone number, is 407-678-3399. All right, we have, I'm Christopher Hart, along with Mike McBath, the chairman of the board. And we've squeezed into the studio a couple of guests. Nicholas Cicero is on the battle bridge tonight. But these folks have been on the show before, and they'll be back again, I'll guarantee you that. And they've got a great organization. It's called Legal Immigrants for America. And I want to welcome to the show the founder, Paula Hansberger, and Chris Kassler. Thank you guys for being with us again.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having us.
All right, and they're going to have to struggle a little bit because we only have a table mic for them to use and one for the two of them. So just please bear with us a little bit if there's a little bit of a delay in the answering of questions and making of comments. But you can still join us. We evidently only have one line working, if you're getting a busy signal and you want to talk, just keep trying until you get through. But once again, the phone number, the new phone number to reach us at least temporarily, is 407-682-9595. If you just tuned in and you missed it last night, we were struck by lightning about 5:40 as we were going into the final segment of the first hour of the show, and it fried a lot of the equipment here, so we were down all night long. And Lou, the great engineer here, has been slowly rebuilding, so to speak. So, but we'll be down the hall, but we are still here, and we are live, and I want to get to our guests. But first, we have Don on the line, so we'll go ahead and take Don's phone call, and then we'll get to Chris and Paula. Thank you, Don, for calling. We appreciate you being out there. Don, are you with us? Don, and you'll have to turn your radio down. So how you doing?
Yeah, a little hard to hear you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
There you are. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Gosh, I've been on hold since last night about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Joel Hunter. Yeah, the Arab wrestler on the WWE.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. Now, what? I didn't know if I had actually gotten the contest out or not. What Don is talking about is, when we got struck by lightning, I was announcing a contest, and the contest was, who is Joel Hunter, whose real name is Gita Chamasadeen. So who is Joel Hunter, Don?
Well, she's that WWE Arab wrestler. Well, she also has a separate handle. I'm trying to remember. It's Bunny something.
Well, actually, you may be confusing her with somebody, but I'm going to say you're the winner. All right. First of all, she's not a WWE wrestler, but she is a professional wrestler. The first Arab professional wrestler in the Arab world.
That must be kicking ISIS off, like, to the 10th degree, man. It's like,
you know it. First female. They already have professional wrestling in the Arab world.
You know, Chris, we could send Hacks. No, he doesn't.
I was
going to
say.
We could send Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the guy, USA, USA. This was probably America's greatest fighter against the Iranians in the WWE.
That's just it. We have found common ground. We have found we have found the virus, if you will, to undermine, and it's professional wrestling.
This could
it's
be the
big
next
over
big
there.
Match at Positano. After the spaghetti eating contest.
Now, real quick, guys.
What's that? Go ahead.
My concern was, though, that you were talking about your website being down.
Yes.
And you were wondering if there was somebody out there, you know.
Trying to silence us.
Know, maybe somebody that was hacking your website, and then kaboom. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I hope you guys are okay.
How are you doing? Coming in? Incoming.
I tell you what, it was quite ironic because you weren't here last night, Mike, but I opened the show. Sometime over the weekend, somebody started bombarding our website, or we just suddenly became largely popular because we were just getting bombarded with hits. And no matter how much we expand our capacity, it's absorbed. So they're checking into it now, and I was commenting, you know, somebody out there is trying to silence us, but they won't.
Maybe they were directing the emails that were to us, you know, that were illegal.
It could be a good deal to actually have to put on another server or two, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But the big boss silenced us at least temporarily last night, but we're back on the air today. But you're right, Don, and you're going to get a $20 gift card to Cafe Post. Zitano.
Hey, the reason I called was this news release that just came out about Hillary Clinton dropping out of her candidacy.
News release?
Is this a joke?
She has medical issues. They found a brain tumor, and apparently they found it during her last colonoscopy.
I knew you were going somewhere. We knew you were going somewhere. I watched you when you said brain, because I knew she didn't have a brain, so I was just trying to figure out where you were going. And you hit the right side of her body, I can tell you that.
I think a brain is a tumor.
Yeah. I was going to say, Bill Clinton kept complaining about this nasty growth on her shoulder. And the doctor said, well, that's just her head.
I think it's Bill Clinton that's responsible for the investigation anyway.
Hey, you could be right about that. In the topsy-turvy, perverse world of politics, anything is possible, as it is in professional wrestling. Joel Hunter, Gita Chamasadeen, 17-year-old girl wrestling professionally in Dubai.
You got it, man. Right. 17 years old.
You like that. All right. Have you been to Cafe Positano?
All the time.
Okay. Well, we'll see you there, and I hope we see you there at the spaghetti eating contest.
Great. All right, guy. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate you. All right. So, just as we were going to run that contest, we got zapped. All right. So, once again, let's get back to our guests. So, once again, Pola Hansberger and Chris Kassler, Legal Immigrants for America. You guys have got a great event coming up. Let's start right there. Tell us a little bit about it.
LIFA has invited Pastor Rafael Cruz, the father of Texas Senator Ted Cruz, to speak at two free events at the Loma Church on the 26th and one on the 27th. And then there is a special luncheon for him at 1 p.m. at Toscahuila Country Club. If you need information, go to golifa.com or eventbrite.com for all the information. And please join us. He's an amazing speaker, and you won't regret you came.
Real quick, the luncheon, is it going to be on Saturday or Sunday?
It's on Sunday. After,
on the Sunday. Because yes. this is the weekend that they're talking about. Actually, the weekend yes. prior to our spaghetti eating contest. The 26th is Saturday. The 27th is Sunday. Aloma Church. What time each day will he be at the Aloma Church?
At Aloma Church on the 26th will be at 6:30.
6:30 p.m.
And at in the morning of Sunday will be at the Boat Rice Center.
At 9:30.
And this is yes. the Aloma Church it's out there.
It's in Winter Park.
And it's just east of 436, isn't it?
Cimarron and Howell Branch.
Right, yeah.
Right.
And you go to Eventbrite to register to be sure of having a seat. We had Pastor Cruz here last fall, and his events were very well attended. We think these are going to be even better attended because he is now, of course, the father of a presidential candidate, Senator Ted Cruz.
And, of course, the campaign is heating up.
Very much.
The two events that are free and the luncheon, they need to register for each of those events.
Yes, that's recommended.
Okay. Now, is there a set topic he'll be talking about, or does he just sort of evolve into different topics as he's...
Legal immigration.
Well, the topic is called God and Countries. Pastor Cruz himself is a legal immigrant. He came to the United States as a young man after he had been tortured and imprisoned by the Batista regime right. in mm-hmm. Cuba, 1957. Right. He was able to secure admission to the University of Texas, which allowed him to come into the United States. He was a student at the university. He washed dishes to make a living and eventually, of course, became a full-blown American citizen.
Yeah, and he married a girl from America, American woman.
Correct.
And then they had those children when they were in Canada, actually.
Correct.
And that one of the children, of course, is Ted Cruz. And now he's going to be doing some campaign swings through the state, too, eventually, I understand.
But this is separate from that.
Yeah,
that is separate, but we do expect that. In fact, we've been in touch with, as well, we've been in touch with the Trump campaign. Legal Immigrants for America has been in touch with his campaign, largely because of our position, which is very consistent with Donald Trump's.
Which is,
for example, that we think illegal immigration should be stopped at all costs. We should put a wall on the border. We should redefine the 14th Amendment. We should make English the language of the country and be official about it. Those are several of the things that we agree with.
I like what he's saying. Illegal alien.
Yes.
Do you like that term, or is that one?
That's exactly what they are.
I like that term. Because that differentiates between what the liberals are trying to push down our throat.
Right.
And they are alien to our wants and needs. You know, you people didn't pay the price. You didn't wait in line. You didn't do the work. So to me, you're an alien.
To become an immigrant, you go through a rigorous procedure. You have to go to the American embassy. They conduct background checks. They check your health, your finances. They have you swear that you will not be a burden to the American taxpayer for at least 10 years. You swear allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and numerous other things that we had to do, and we were proud to do them. We willingly did it, and that's why I say we never had a voice. Legal immigrants have never been represented.
And that's interesting that you say that, because today Investors Business Daily released some poll results that they did, and they asked Hispanics who are here legally, would they agree with Donald Trump that they should not just close the border, but send the illegals that are here out. 40% of them said yes.
Yes.
that you should not just close it off, but send the people that are here illegally back.
She has to be very proud of her achievement and everybody else. Remember that fellow Little John from Macedonia? John. We had him on the other day.
Aubrey Kahn.
And this
Pasquale
guy,
Barba.
Yeah, this guy started in 74 here with nothing. He ended up, like a few others, owning restaurants, never went in any form of welfare, became a citizen, and he's upset. He said, why do we let these people in because of the bozo we have sitting up in Washington? And, the answer is, I don't know.
Well, it's not just his fault either. I mean, administration after administration has not done
it's
what they needed
it
to
down.
Do.
And
it is ridiculous. I was in Managua, Nicaragua last week. I just got back last night, and my nephew who lives there told me that Donald the president of Nicaragua was asked about Donald Trump's position in illegal immigration, and Daniel Ortega said, I agree with him. He's saying the right thing. Illegal immigration will bankrupt a country. No country, a country without borders, will cease to exist. Yes. So here is Daniel Ortega, a communist
dictator,
and he's saying that.
Well, isn't the number like 41 million that we have totally? I mean,
as far as the
immigrants,
the illegals?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe the numbers ever
reached
quite
that. But over like 30, 40 years. I mean,
well, I don't know. Well, that'd be a good question, but I believe they believe sometime. And once again, nobody really
knows what the number
is. This is part of the problem. Nobody knows.
We have no idea.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, just look what's going on in Europe. They have a huge problem with immigration going on there right now. And the countries are finding out, just as you said, they can't afford it.
They can't afford it.
Not can they afford it financially, but they can't afford it culturally either.
You can't import people who have a different view of life right at the foundation of their way of life that's different from your own, who insist on imposing their way of life on you. People such as Paula, who are legal immigrants, strove to become Americans. They swore to uphold the Constitution, to defend this country if necessary, to be Americans. They dispensed with their previous nationality. They didn't hang on to it. They dispensed with their previous language if necessary. This is a whole different attitude from people who are illegal, who come here and say, oh, I want to impose my way of life on you, and if you don't like it, too bad, I'm going to sue you. Forget that. We're not putting up with that stuff.
Yeah. Well, and of course, part of the problem.
I like it. I love this.
And
this is
problem,
great.
Part of the problem has been Americans who don't have that point of view. You know,
they're asleep. That's the problem. Americans are asleep.
They also have a vested interest. You know what I mean? And there's a reason they want them in here.
Well, some of them are getting. Yeah, they're especially
benefited.
The ones in Washington with crony capitalism and all of that.
And they want the votes.
Yes, and buying votes. The illegal Democrat is what we call those people that come through the border.
It's no wonder that the Democrats have opposed voter registrations and identification. They want anyone who walks into the polling place to be allowed to vote. You can't, as we know, you can't buy beer without a picture
ID.
Can't
go on the airline.
You can't even borrow a book at the library. But they now want people to be allowed to vote just simply by saying that they want to.
Yeah.
And to do it over and over.
You can't even get into one of their campaign events without showing a picture ID, for heaven's sake. Once again, LIFA is Legal Immigrants for America, and you can certainly be a member of this organization. All you have to do is go to golifa.com. That's golifa.com. Is that right, Chris?
Yes, it is.
And it's free. So go to, there you go, free. Go to golifa.com. Can't beat that deal. And you can be a part of this great organization as they build support for candidates who will do something about the illegal aliens who are in this country. All right, we'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have more with Paula Hansberger and Chris Kassler of LIFA.
And take it.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. How you doing? Welcome, as I said, back to the show. Thanks for joining us on the web or on your smart device. We definitely appreciate that. That means you are some really great fans, and we thank you for that. I am Christopher Hart. Mike McBath had to leave to take care of some union biz, him being a union boss and all that stuff. When the union calls, he must answer. But, of course, he'll be back on the show tomorrow night. And we are here, and we are are live, but we have a different telephone number for the time being because we were knocked off the air by lightning last night, which fried the phone lines here and a good deal of the equipment in the main studio. So Nick LoCicero is on the battle bridge. We're down the hall, and the new phone number, at least for now, is 407-682-9595. That's 407-682-9595. And in the studio with me still are the folks from the Legal Immigration for America group, and you can be a member of LIFA by going to their website, which is golifa.com. That's golifa.com. And in the studio, once again, we have one of the founders, Amapola Hansberger,
yes,
and the executive director, Chris Kassler. So once again, I want to thank you guys for being in here.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for having us.
How tough was it to get Rafael Cruz to come to town?
He's a friend. We have brought him here before.
Mm-hmm.
And he connects with the idea of legal immigrants having a voice and representation because he experienced the same frustrations that we all did. So it was rather easy because he's with us. He's a legal immigrant.
Yeah. And of course, his son, this is, you know, it's a passion of his to go to Washington, D.C. and actually do the right things.
Yes.
I remember I had the opportunity to meet Pastor Cruz, what was it, about a year ago?
Yes,
when he was
a year
in town?
Ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I asked him, I said, what would be the one attribute that you could tell me, Pastor Cruz, that your son would have that would make him a great president? And he paused and he thought about it for a second, and he said, because he's a man of principle.
Yes, he is.
And I think that he has proven that.
Yes.
Whereas your common politicians, they constantly disprove that.
Well, Ted
in
Cruz,
other words, that they are not men of principle.
Ted Cruz stood up and filibustered for pretty much 24 hours against Obamacare, and I think he was only supported by two other senators.
Correct.
He also stood up in the Senate a month ago and bluntly called the Senate leader, McConnell, a liar.
Yep.
And this is unique these days. We have found that most of the politicians and even the Republicans that we worked so hard to reelect are really quite cowardly. And I think Ted Cruz stands out because he's a man of principle, integrity, and fortitude.
Yeah.
He's fearless. And Cubans, as well as other people like myself who came from communist nations, we say, if we lose this country, where do we go? We got to fight.
Yeah.
And he's willing to fight.
And that's what a lot of people see in Donald Trump, of course, a fighter and a person who wants to preserve the United States and make it great again.
Yes.
You know, we lose sight in this country that we need to be the light, the city on the hill for the rest of the world.
We have been that.
For no other reason than to give them hope.
We're called to be that. We're called to be that.
But we should also be compensated for the lives and the efforts and money we spend saving other countries. They don't know how ungrateful people are outside the United States. I used to fly for Pan Am, so I know there are very few countries I haven't visited.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that people are ungrateful. They never pay back. They can never pay back the debt to the United States. But some people love us. The Australians love us.
Yeah. Well, and that's a bad lesson that we teach these countries, that, you know, we can go in there and spend our treasure and our blood and not ask anything from them. That's not a great lesson to give.
I think we should expect countries to whom we give money or anything else to vote with us in the UN,
at least,
and to not publicly speak against us. And if they do, then we should just cut off their funds. And frankly, people say, oh, well, we won't have any friends. Oh, I think we'll have plenty of friends.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
we'll find out who our yeah. friends really are.
We'll have better friends.
True.
Indeed. And once again, it's a matter of pride for them.
Yes.
You know, if we give them and don't ask for anything in return, it's a shaming thing. And so for them to react with anger, in a way, that's how they maintain their pride. That's right. They resent us in order to save face.
True.
Where if we just would make it a more of a two-way street, then they could save face and not have to hate us in the process.
The Japanese love us because we rebuild Japan, and so they really are friends of the United States. And you're right, they are proud because they reciprocate in
exactly. I was
every
say,
way.
But they reciprocated.
In every way.
Exactly. So
one of our best allies in the world, which it has been for 200 years, is Great Britain. We supported them prior to World War II and through World War II with the Lend-Lease program. And they worked consistently to pay that off. It wasn't paid off until 3 years ago. But they kept their word, paid their debt, and have always remained a steadfast ally of ours.
All right. Yeah. So there's something to be said for that.
Israel as well. It's an ally of us.
Right.
And they have deep gratitude towards the American people. They know that Obama is not a friend of theirs, but they know the people of America love them.
Yeah, and I think that that's something we shouldn't lose sight of, that if we get a true leader back in the White House, we can begin the process of turning this around in fairly short order. Obviously, it's going to be a long, hard, arduous task because the damage that's being done around the world, physical damage and people being killed and run out of their homes and out of their countries, that's going to take a while to fix. But the impression that we can and are going to do it can be changed virtually overnight.
But if you cut off the benefits to people that haven't worked in this country to earn it, if you don't give in those benefits that cost money, like free school, free hospitalization, free everything to the illegals and the new Americans, if you cut that off, you get plenty of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we've fallen prey to in the last two generations is the idea that if people don't work, that they should be supported. This is generalizing, of course.
Right.
But what we've accomplished in this is that we've created a class of people who are accustomed to being looked after and taken care of and expect it and demand it. And this is potentially ruinous for this country and this culture.
Absolutely.
The Germans learned through experience just what happens when they reunited West and East Germany. The West Germans were very enthusiastic about this, but they were terribly disappointed when they discovered that their East German cousins, who were essentially just as German as they were, had lost their work ethic, had lost their initiative, mm-hmm. no longer wanted to get up in the morning and go work hard for something because they had lived under communism for two generations and lost the idea that you could actually work toward fulfilling a dream that wasn't possible for them anymore. They had to be re-educated, essentially.
Right. Their spirit or their soul had atrophied, and it just gotten so lazy. And that's one of my biggest gripes about liberalism in general, is that it crushes the human spirit.
It does.
It crushes your soul. It makes you into, if you will, a non-person, because everything about being a person is going out and trying to be an individual, trying to do as much for yourself as you possibly can, and encountering the trials along the way and overcoming them. That's all a part of it. When you take all of that away, you are taking away the human experience from someone.
No incentive.
Right.
Why am I going to become a doctor and be given the same amount of money that my neighbor who sits around and
does nothing,
drinking beer all day long,
right,
is going to get? Why am I going to work so hard?
I know, and we're seeing this as they raise the minimum wage around the country. We saw it in Seattle. Now Walmart has announced today that they're going to cut back on hours of people. Now Walmart is saying that they're doing it because of it's costing more than they thought it would, and their sales are down a little bit. So they're cutting back on the hours that they just raised people's wages. So in essence, they're not going to make any more money now, and they'll be working less. And what they found, though, in Seattle, and I'm sure that to a certain extent this is true around the rest of the country with Walmart, and that is that as the people were earning more money, they became a little dissatisfied because they were being threatened with losing some of their welfare benefits. And so they were thinking, well, now I can have the best of both worlds. I can work less and still get the benefits and make the same amount of money. So why would I ever want to work harder? Once again, it is, however, destroying their not only their incentive to work more, but their incentive to be a better person.
Communism has never, never, never worked.
Never will.
No.
No. It never will because it discounts human nature. One thing that communism thinks it can do is change human nature. And when I studied in college, this is one of the things that I began to realize, you know, one of the hole in the theory, so to speak. I wanted to see what was it all about, right? So I studied for 2 years, and I found two holes in the theory. One, they discount religion. Okay,
yes.
And that's the human soul will never, you know, be satisfied without some connection to God. And the other was just what I said. They think that under the right circumstances, you can have a, for lack of a better word, perfect human being. In other words, if you have a totally fair democratic society, you won't have crime.
Right.
Right? You won't need borders.
No.
You know, you won't need welfare because everybody will be glad to help their friends and brothers out. And, of course, it's never worked, as you
never
said.
Has.
We've tried it in this country. When the pilgrims came here, they tried communism. Didn't work.
It
killed
didn't
half
work.
The population.
You can have five children and all of them be different.
Yeah.
Some be very studious and motivated to work, and then there is one that doesn't want to do anything.
Right.
It's human nature.
And that's what they found out in the hippie generation.
Yes.
The hippie generation. Remember the communes?
Sure.
In the hippie generation?
The love children.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
all
God.
Of that. They all ended up, you know, at each other's throats, and they lasted probably the longest any of them lasted was a year or two.
They rebelled. They rebelled against parents. They rebelled against the nation, the U.S. They rebelled against
because they thought they had a better way.
But they didn't learn from it, and now they infest academia and the government,
right.
And they're making the rest of our lives miserable.
Yeah, and they always have an excuse, and their excuse is, well, we couldn't do it because of the bigger society wouldn't let us do what we had to do, you know, and all that nonsense.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Exactly. With liberals, it always is. And so it's you know, from a political standpoint, it's pretty ingenious. You know, blame natural events on your political opponents and call them evil for it happening, and then you can get some political traction.
And then give very nice names to horrible deeds, like if you go to...
Like undocumented workers?
Yeah, undocumented, dreamers, and all of that. Those are nice names for an invader, a trespasser, and a transgressor. If you Google those three names, you will find that they are more like the illegal immigrants than they are like the legal immigrants.
Undocumented Democrats?
Undocumented Democrats, instead of calling them transgressors, trespassers.
Right. Okay, by the way, I just found out that we are still on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, and we will be for the remainder of the show. So,
wonderful.
If you're out there still listening on the airwaves, of course, you can still call us at 407-682-9595. And once again, we are talking with Amapola Hansberger, who is the founder of Legal Immigrants for America, and Chris Kassler, the executive director. You can be a member of LIFA by simply going to their website, golifa.com, and you'll get information updates, and you'll get exclusive invites to, like, for instance, these three exclusive engagements with Pastor Rafael Cruz coming up at the end of this month, the weekend of the 26th and 27th. And there'll be three events, and you can certainly find time, I think, in your schedule to attend one of these events. It will be Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Aloma Church, which is located on 436 between Howell Branch Road and it's right
on 436 Howell Branch.
At Howell Branch.
And Semarang.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Tuscaloosa Country Club, you can have lunch with Pastor Cruz. Now, the events at the Aloma Church are free, but they would like you to register because they expect the place to be packed. And if you want to be able to get in and get a seat, you're going to need to register. And the event Sunday at Tuscaloosa is going to be at 1 o'clock. Once again, it's a luncheon, and there will be a charge for that for your lunch, which is $25. And you can register for any of these events by going to golifa.com or going to Eventbrite.
Correct.
Correct.
And so, okay, we're up against the clock, so we'll take the break and come back with one more segment of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, coming to you live from down the hall. But we're still on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.